Bet on Bears fans, Pat the Designer, Shay Norling back in the building again. He's becoming a regular on the show. I kind of like
it.
I kind of like it. But we got to get into some of these top 30 visits that have been scheduled. There's some of them that may have already happened. There was a dinner a couple of nights ago. It's reported by Sylvie on Waddle and Sylvie. So we got to talk about all that and more coming up. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Shay, Caleb Williams is in town, my friend. Apparently he's having dinner with not only the brass, but
players.
Future teammates? Is that what we're throwing out there? Just future teammates at this point?
Dude, at this point, they should just start selling the jersey in the team store. Like, it's over. We're done with the conversation. Caleb's one and apparently only 30 visit was in Chicago. Like, let's telegraph this a little more. Then you know what's the funny thing is, like, I keep watching the national shows, Get Up, all these things, and they're doing like draft discourse. Like, there's still rumors around the number one pick, and I just feel bad for all these guys because having the number one pick be this wrapped up this early is brutal for the national discourse around the draft.
Yeah, there's 21 days left until the draft is here, and they got to sit here and act like they care what people are going to do at 2, 3, and 4, right? My favorite is when you get that, all right, guys, so I know what we got going on here. We think we got Caleb Williams wrapped up. Let's talk about the 15th pick. Nobody cares what's going at 15. Nobody cares who's leaving the draft board after 15. So
the best, too, is like the pure boredom of – well, it sounds like everything's saying Caleb Williams to the Bears, but hang on a minute now. Jaden Daniels, I would like to speak about him.
And this is how guys move up the draft board. I keep telling people this. It gets to a point where things are boring. You want to know why JJ McCarthy's flying up boards? Because people are like, well, we've run out of things to talk about with the top three. All right, let's figure out who's the next guy that's going to be the surprise. Now, granted, there is an Anthony Richardson almost every year. Maybe that's J.J. McCarthy this year. Maybe Harbaugh trades Herbert. Maybe there's the discourse there. I can't wait. Have we had that one yet? We know that's coming, right? They could trade Justin Herbert, get some draft capital to add to this team, and then you go get J.J. McCarthy 5.
I'm telling you, I'm waiting on it. The best was the rumor I heard the other day that was Harbaugh is manufacturing the J.J. McCarthy steam because it will leave Marvin Harrison on the board for the Chargers at 5 if J.J. goes 4. Which, honestly, hey, if it works, that's not a bad take.
It's not a bad take. I'm not going to lie. That'd be very smart. Shout out to Harbaugh. Who could have been our head coach, maybe. Probably not. Hey, let's jump into some of these visits. Caleb Williams, I think that's the one. That's the easy one. But we've heard that there are some interesting names scheduled. Roma Dunze had his top 30 visit. What are you hearing around Roma Dunze? Do you feel like if he's there at 9, he's a prime candidate for the Chicago Bears to pull the trigger on?
You know, the longer this goes, the less I feel like they have any intention of trading the number 9 pick. The more we hear out of Eberflus and out of Poles, Poles sounds really comfortable going into this draft with 4 picks. I think the line the other day was that's 25 players in 3 years. That's 8 players a draft. We feel good about that number.
Yeah.
I think he seems comfortable. Literally, I think yesterday he had a comment about how the draft falls off a cliff after round 4. So the talent at the top, clearly more attractive to the Bears brass than any of the talent at the bottom. I think the trade situation is gone. The other thing I keep feeling more and more is when you hear it from guys like Brad Biggs, Tribune, doing his mailbags, you hear it from guys who are connected. They want a draft offense.
Yeah.
They want a quarterback number 1, and they want to continue to build up this offense with the 9th pick. For me, that feels like it's got to be a wide receiver. I don't really think that they're going to go the offensive line route at 9. Mm-hmm. I've said this is just my opinion, but you think about Jervon Dexter and how he came on late, and the Bears opted not to go after somebody like Christian Wilkins when it came to defensive tackle and free agency.
Yeah.
I don't feel like Poles is really motivated to kick Braxton Jones inside or put him on the bench. I think he's kind of committed to the guys that he's drafted and who have played.
Oh, you're Braxton not lying. These guys.
So for me, I don't think Joe Alt's really an entertaining option. And if I'm Ryan Poles, I just don't see it. So Roma Dunze, if he's there at 9, and I think he will be, I think he's more likely to be there than Neighbors. that's the guy I anticipate being drafted at 9.
Yeah, I think Malik Nabers is probably the guy, unless Arizona decides to trade back, which would be interesting. But I think Malik Nabers is probably the guy the Chargers end up getting, which may spark off the run of wide receivers, which changes things for you. In that scenario, though, they've got another name on the board that I think absolutely possibly speaks to the Bears trading back here, depending on right where J.J. McCarthy, all the jokes around him, ends up falling. But I was a little surprised to see Brock Bowers' name being reported by Tony Pauline on the name of guys that the Bears are going to host for a top 30 visit. Like Bowers, really like Bowers, definitely the best tight end prospect here in this draft. Not a guy that I think you take at 9, though. With some of the other names on this list, is Brock Bowers an actual candidate here for the Bears? And do you feel like if you do that, you can trade back and get him and maybe add some of that second round capital that you don't have right now?
You know, I've been doing the scouting reports on Cap and Jay Hood. I haven't gotten around to Bowers yet. I obviously watched him a lot when he was at Georgia.
Right.
My thing with it, like, Pat, does it make sense to you from an asset management standpoint? You already have Komet on the roster making money for the next 3 seasons.
Yeah.
You went out and got Gerald Everett. Both guys kind of fit the Shane Waldron 2 tight end high catch rate formula. And you're going to draft a tight end in the first round. You're going to go 3 tight ends deep on this roster. And I get what people are going to say. Brock Bowers is not a tight end. He's a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Well, unless he's Rob Gronkowski, then all he is a big wide receiver. And I'm not interested. Like, I'd rather get a legitimate wide receiver than this kind of cyborgish big dude that we can split out wide occasionally when I already have 2 good tight ends. What am I doing that for? You know what I mean?
Doesn't that speak to where Poles comes from, though, right? I mean, like, the Kansas City motto has been great tight end, great quarterback, and you can always count on that tight end to be open. To me, he leans more towards I'm not going to say Travis Kelce here, but a George Kittle type of player where you can sit there and go, listen, go out there, you catch 15 balls a game if you need to. I could see that happening. Not to say that I wouldn't. How much is a year of loyalty worth in the NFL, right? Gerald Everett, to me, is a guy that knows the scheme. I don't think Gerald Everett is a long-term answer here. I can't say that I wouldn't see the Bears doing something like this because of where Ryan Poles comes from, because of the hope. And I don't know, right, if we have Bowers up there as being projected to be a Sam Laporta type of rookie here, but the hope that you're getting that type of guy where you turn around and he's breaking 100 yards a game. Yeah, you got 2 great wide receivers, and maybe the future of that, when Keenan Allen goes, isn't replacing him with a wide receiver. It's having the DJ Moore and the tight end already in place that can be the Travis Kelce, George Kittle type of guy.
Well, okay, so I'll take Travis Kelce out of it because I think
he's
the greatest, and he's more in line with, I think, what Bowers is. Not saying that I think Bowers is going to be as good as Kelce, just they're more similar. And I'll tell you, you brought up Kittle and Laporta. Laporta obviously had a stellar rookie season. Help me out. What round was he drafted in?
Oof, what was Laporta? He was
third round pick.
I mean, he was not. This is your guy. No,
I'm just like, he wasn't a first round pick, is my point. When was Travis Kelce drafted?
Travis Kelce is definitely not a first round pick.
4th round pick.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken. Rob Gronkowski, 2nd round pick. Like, these guys.
So Laporta was a 2nd round pick. Laporta was 2nd round, 34th pick.
So typically, these guys that are really quality, A, you're finding them later in the draft, and B, they do something that, look, again, I haven't scouted Bowers, but I watched him a lot at Georgia, and if you just go look at some of the numbers and the schemes and what they did, he ain't blocking. He's not involved in the run game. He's not an effective blocker. Like, this is why I'm taking Kelce out of it, because it's another thing that Kelce is not great at. He's kind of unique in the regard that he's made it as long as he has as a tight end while not being an elite blocker. But Gronk, elite blocker. Kittle, elite blocker.
Yeah.
Laporta, elite blocker. It's something I need my tight ends to do. If I'm going to spend a first round pick on one, that makes me a little nervous. Because again, if I can't slot you on the offensive line and ask you to sit in there and block, you are just a big wide receiver. And I don't have as much use for that.
That's interesting. And somebody made the reference yesterday. They were like, you know, he's basically better Greg Olsen. do we, and I get the other guys have been taking late in later rounds, their third round, second round guys, but if the comparison that pops into our head, while maybe it's a lofty comparison, is a Travis Kelce type of player, who's turning that down? Does it matter where you're taking him? Now, I think it matters if you take him at 9, because I think there's room for you to move down there, but I don't know if, like, that's to me is like when everybody goes at me about saying, you know, I take a center in the first round. How can you take a center in the first round? Because we only care about center in the first round if he doesn't work. Exactly. We don't care about him if he's a 10-year guy that snaps a football that you never have to worry about him.
But that's kind of the pressure that goes on a Bowers pick is if you do take him in the first round, it's not we hope he's Kelce. It's he has to be Kelce.
Yes.
It's the same thing that happened when the Lions took Eric Ebron in the first round, I think with the 11th pick. It's the same thing that happened when the Falcons took Kyle Pitts in the first round. It's the same thing that happened when the Lions did it again and took T.J. Hockenson with the 10th pick. He's not on the team anymore. I'm not telling you Hawk's not a good player. He's a good player. You know he's not? Rob Gronkowski. If you're going to get drafted first round as a tight end, I don't want you to be Gronk. I need you to be Gronk. Otherwise, it is a bad pick. That's why I can't do it.
I hear you on that one. That's an interesting it's not a bad angle though. Like that one is the Bowers name being on there surprised me because it was like, okay, like we're not even talking, and there's still some more guys that are gonna get added to this list, but like I would think, okay, if you're gonna go offense here, you missed out on the top three wide receivers and you have to have a wide receiver. Why are we talking about Brian Thomas?
I agree. And I thought when they went the Gerald Everett route, I felt like we were done with the Bowers thing.
Yeah.
Brian Thomas Jr. is intriguing to me. I've talked to a few people who have watched him more than I have, and they've kind of said he's got one skill. Like, he's not a route technician. He's not creating a ton of separation on his own. He's just a college burner that runs vert routes. Kind of the same thing I've heard about Johnny Wilson out of Florida State. I haven't done a deep dive on Brian Thomas Jr., but I could see why that would scare some people off. I just think if you're going to go offense at 9, it's a Dunze or Neighbors, and it's whichever one of the two is on the board.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I think the interesting thing is there's a name one there on the defensive side that everybody's been in on, and that is, I believe this is the man that you said you were in love with. Is that Dallas
Florida Turner? State edge rusher Jared Verse?
Oh, Jared Verse. Jared Verse was the one that you were in love with. I was going Dallas Turner, but okay. Jared Verse, also a name. That was who you were in love with. That's right. Yeah. That was a scary short there from you, Shay. We all got a little nervous. You got very excited. I'm glad we kept the camera high. Thoughts on Jared Verse here?
You would have seen my pants tighten up a little
bit. Hey, yo.
Luckily, I don't wear a lot of gray sweatpants. We don't need the imprint everywhere. That's not for
shout
free.
Out to you, first off. I mean,
that's for my wife only. No,
they can do what it do.
You know, I wouldn't be mad with either of them. I think people like, yes, I love Jared Verse. Jared Verse is the player that I've kind of planted my flag. Like, if I have one guy that I could walk away with in this first round besides Caleb, it is Jared Verse for me. I believe in him. He's explosive off the line in a way that I think a lot of guys aren't. Quick, like the second the ball snapped, he's in your backfield. He's just a problem. He puts so much stress on the tackles to block vertically. That's always a challenge. Moves inside, outside. Like, I could talk about this guy all day. I love him. That's not to say that if they do go the Dallas Turner route, I'd be angry by any stretch. The process is the thing that's really important to me. And it's you signed Montez Sweat to this extension. He's on the team for the foreseeable future, at least the next 4 seasons. It's really impactful if you spend that first-round pick on somebody like Jared Verse or somebody like Dallas Turner who can play the opposite side. And in 4 years, when Sweat's extension is up, you just move the money over to either Verse or Turner, whoever it is that you select if you go that route, and you do it again. Get another edge rusher in the first round, create a bookend, and you can kind of have that cycle. And I think with Sweat already on the team, you're not doing – like Aiden Hutchinson was seen as a little bit of a bust for a while because the Lions put him on a team that had no one else and needed him to do all the work.
Yeah.
The kid that – was Trayvon Walker.
Was Aiden Hutchinson seen as a bust for a little while? When was
– Yeah, man. He was not productive. He wasn't getting sacks.
Wasn't getting sacks, but like almost the in the backfield every play. Yeah.
With, you know? No, and then like the kid in Jacksonville, Walker, that came out of Georgia, that like that another surprise shot up the rankings and went to number one overall, is kind of a bust. But again, you're putting him on a defense where you're asking him to do a lot of it himself. The Bears don't have that problem. You can put Dallas Turner or Jared Verse next to an already elite edge rusher.
Yeah, I mean, and here's what I love about it. And I don't know, I have Turner above Verse. I think that just the pure power and the ability, like I see Turner as almost a, again, I hate comparing guys to like the top guys in the league, but I mean, they're top 10 picks. That's what you hope they'll end up being, right? Like, it reminds me, little Myles Garrett-ish, where I'm like, I can move this guy anywhere I need to move him. For the most part, he's comfortable in multiple different situations. I can put his hand in the dirt. He can stand up. I feel like there's a ton that you get with Dallas Turner. Not to say you don't get that with Jared Verse, but when I see Dallas Turner, and I think this is how most GMs would draft, I see a guy who eventually is the best defensive player on that line. I see a guy that passes up Montez Sweat. When I see Jared Verse, I see a guy who would, to me, be an equal to Montez Sweat. And I think for me, I would take the guy that, and maybe it works out one way or the other, but I'd take the guy that I believe is the, hey, this guy's going to be the best defensive player on our defense in 3 years, maybe in 2 years, if he can hit the ground running.
Yeah, the Alabama factory, man. Alabama defensive players typically turn out to be pretty decent. So it's not a bad tree to be picking your crop from either. But I just, for me, I think it's Verse. I feel the way you feel about Turner, about Verse. That kind of, he gets a kind of a Trey Hendrickson, the Bengals edge rusher. He gets that comp a little bit because of the speed and the quickness off the line. If he can bulk himself up and become a little more physically imposing, I do think there's a chance you start comping him more to Micah Parsons type, a guy who's just a nuclear warhead.
Shay, we appreciate you jumping on for the breakdown. I gotta, before we get you out of here, I can't leave this podcast without talking about the fact that there's a white running back on the Bears radar right here. And I don't know the last time we've seen an NFL going out for white running backs here. Dylan Lobby out of New Hampshire is on the Bears top 30 list. And he's rushed for over 1,200 yards. He's got 15 touchdowns, and he's got nearly 700 receptions. White running backs coming back in the NFL, Shay.
Over Pat, I can't even pretend to know anything about this guy. I haven't watched a snap of New Hampshire football. Are you kidding me? Doug. Oh, good. You know what? You know what I can tell you? I can tell you what the people are going to say about him when he gets to the league, if he gets to the league.
Yeah.
Lunch pail guy.
Oh, real
grinder.
Yeah.
Great attitude. Smart ball player. That's what's going to be said. Nothing about athleticism. Nothing about power, speed. Oh, you know what it'll be? Sneaky quick.
Sneaky fast.
Quick.
He's got sneaky fast. He's got hidden athleticism. This guy's a real general in the room. Yeah, you know I mean, like, definitely
leader. He's a leader.
A leader. All of the cliches will be used for this young man. I was just dying laughing because I was like, first off, same thing. New Hampshire football. That's what we're looking. All right. I like the deep dive. Then I look him up and I'm like, white guy. Haven't seen white running back making a comeback in the NFL for a while here. I guess CMC, but like,
you know, since you brought it up, like, the other interesting one is in the first round, the resurgence of the white cornerback, Cooper DeJean out of Iowa.
Yes.
Could be in the division. A lot of people saying the Lions, they need help on their secondary. Could be interested in getting Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. So the white corner could be coming back as well.
Remember that, like, that randomly last year there was like the let's do the white versus black player bowl.
Yes.
And yeah, we did it on Captain Jay Hood. And there was no corners. There was like running backs. You got to play both ways. Like,
you know, dude, you get Harrison Smith, and then you're like, shit, dude, who the hell else is there that can play outside? I need CMC out here playing defensive back.
CMC's playing both ways, baby. Hey, Shay, we appreciate you jumping on the show as always, especially in the time crunch. Make sure that you guys check out Shay on Twitter. Follow him every morning on the Cap and Jay Hood show as well. He will be the loud voice contradicting everything Cap says.
Right.
Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. For Shay Norling, it's your boy Pat the Designer, back at it again. Bear down, Chicago. Let's get some of these top 30s in the building. Peace.